All right, let's get this thing going, shall we? 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590. It is Blue Jays talk. I am Jeff Blair. He is Kevin Barker. The Toronto Blue Jays beating the New York Yankees 5-4 tonight. They have won the series. They can go for the sweep, or will go for the sweep tomorrow afternoon. 3:07, first pitch, Kevin Gausman on the mound against our old friend Marcus Stroman. Kevin Barker, so many things to talk about in this game. The Blue Jays activated Jordan Romano and Eric Swanson before the game. Much talk before the game about the decision to send Nate Pearson down, but Romano and Swanson were activated. We saw Jordan Romano pitch the ninth inning. He gets the save. It was nervy, but the velo ticked up as the inning went on. We saw Jimmy Garcia get the eighth inning, and while he doesn't get credit for the save, it was pretty clear that the plan all along was to get him in against Soto, Judge, and Stanton, get him in against the meat of the lineup. And Kevin, Vladdy, a couple of hits, a couple of RBIs, Bo drives in a key run, Justin Turner, a sacrifice fly. Ernie Clement has a terrific game on all aspects of the game. Oh, yeah, we forgot the starting pitcher, Yusei Kikuchi. Again, no one knows how he does it. He doesn't know how he does it. I guarantee you, Aaron Boone doesn't know how he does it. But Kevin Barker, Yusei Kikuchi, he's the Yankees' daddy. I mean, let's just say it. He is the Yankees' daddy.
Yeah, how about that? The Blue Jays had a team win. Right? Everybody contributed. Everybody did exactly what they were supposed to do. They played good defense. They got really good starting pitching. You know, for the most part, they got through Trevor Richards. I mean, six full days off is a lot.
It's a lot for a guy with that repertoire, isn't it? Anybody, absolutely. But for that repertoire especially.
Well, I mean, maintaining, you know, location on the changeup, good arm speed. Like, you need to throw a lot. And when you haven't thrown in 6 days, it's very hard to go out there. I ain't making excuses for him, but that's sort of what it looks like when you ain't pitched in 6 days. You know, Romano, I think it's first game. You know, it's you got your first song. You got to run through that. Like, it's just, you know, it's like you just sort of getting your feet wet. And, you know, you had decent velocity. I think you had a couple of sliders, a little floppy. I mean, Verdugo, you probably want to bounce that thing. You bounce it, you know, more back footed than have it 12-6 looking. You know, that'll get better the more he throws it. He'll get in a groove. You know, I think they're rounding in the form when it comes to just who's going to pitch and where they're going to pitch and how much they're going to pitch and, you know, who John's going to pitch him against. Like, you know, they're going to figure out all that stuff. I think the pitching's sort of, you know, starting to be looking the way it's supposed to be looking. You know, Vladdy,
let's just say it, though, Kev, too, that this is the first time this year that John Schneider has had the bullpen he thought he was going to have.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it's Jimmy Garcia. I think he's got a lot of confidence in that one dude. He can stick him anywhere he wants to stick him against the meat of the order. I think that's very important, right? Jimmy Garcia's got, you know, enough mindset to have a routine whenever he gets called on. No matter what that inning is, he's going to be raring and ready to go. So I think that's sort of like John's security blanket right now to maneuver in the dudes that, you know, has been off and needs to get their feet wet and, you know, start throwing the balls and having them go where they want to go. Hey, look, Vladdy actually self-corrected in it bad. He took a big daddy hack. You know, he after that, the two RBI single up the middle with two outs, you know, that big daddy hack to start the at-bat, then he controls it. He has shoulder squared. He thinks up the middle. You know, it's Edwin and Canarcion sitting over there. And, I heard Buck talking about when they showed up, they saw Vladdy in the cage. That's exactly what you're supposed to do when you're struggling. Mm-hmm. You're not hitting. You get in the cage, you basically make them hands bleed to create a habit, right? You want to, when you get in the game, don't have to think about it because you've done it so many times off the field that it's just second nature to you. And I just love that he's self-corrected. That's the first time all year we've seen him do that. That only bodes well for the Blue Jays. Bo Bichette, you could tell mentally he's been grinding, right? Whenever you see his barrel under fastballs. That means the timing with his hands getting it on plane is a little off, and that's good to see because of where the pitch ended up when he got the RBI single, right? Yep. Up the middle. That's a big deal because that will tell you he's getting it on plane in time. He's staying through it. His hands are traveling the way they're supposed to inside the baseball. The barrel's the last thing you see. The ball goes up the middle, so that's a key thing, right? You get them two dudes going, everybody else sort of falls in place. You got the old guy, you know, doing the sacrifice fly to center, sort of like situational hitting. I don't have to overswing. I just want to catch it out front, create some backspin, get it in the air. It's baseball 101. It's like you just sort of need that guy that just sort of knows how to do it right. And I do like that Vladdy got the Gatorade poured on him. I like how the old guy did it in Turner. You know, he drugged the Gatorade thing out there. He wasn't in any hurry. Wasn't trying to hide from Vladdy. It's a veteran move, right? I just sort of like throwing that in there because that was kind of fun to watch. It's rare that we see Vladdy getting Gatorade poured on him, so I kind of like to mention that. You know, the diving plays, right? The Schneider thing, it's about when you leave your feet. Lefty hit it, ball going away from you. It's not so much how hard the play was. It's the timing of when you leave your feet because you're just basically not used to doing that in left field. That's a great play. The Varsho diving play, he makes that 11 times out of 10. He's that good. Like, that's not a surprise to me. So I was sort of, you know, just happy and expecting him to make that. The Clement base running, look, he's sort of the Swiss Army knife. You put him at third, you put him at second, you put him at short, you know, running the bases, he can steal a base, he can go first to home. Like, he's going to do everything that he can do to help you win a baseball game. And I don't know about you, I like watching him play. Like, he's a lot of fun. Yeah, he does everything right. You know, I mean, he's not great at anything. He just does a lot of things really, really good. And for me, I like watching that. So, yeah, again, I mean, maybe this is the first team win that they've actually had, right? When they were supposed to make a good play in the field, they made it. When they were supposed to, you know, try and get a guy over, guy got a good jump, you know, had a good slide at a base, you know, avoided a tag. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. So it's kind of just fun to watch everybody contributing, everybody doing their thing. At the end, you win a baseball game. It's kind of nice to watch.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. If you want to talk about the roster decision the Jays made today, you want to talk about Kikuchi, you want to talk about the offense, the return of Jordan Romano, we are here for you. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. The play got lost a little bit in things that happened in the fifth inning, but I thought of you. The 3-4-1 out on Alex Verdugo, where Vladdy jumps up, tips the ball, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa picks it up. But what I liked about it, and Buck pointed this out as well, you know, you played first base. I like the fact that everybody kept doing what they were supposed to do. Kikuchi kept running to the bag. Kiner-Falefa got the ball. Nobody gave up on that play. When I saw that play, Kevin, because at that point, I'm just looking at Kikuchi ended up throwing 30 pitches that inning, but I'm sorry, 20 pitches that inning, but he'd stabilized, right? He had 11 in the third inning. He had a very quick eighth in the fourth inning. And plays like that save guys' pitches. And I think when I look back at this game, yeah, it gets lost in a lot that would happen, but that's a leadoff hitter. I just think, again, good defense.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, I think having an athlete on the mound, and Yusei Kikuchi, who sort of knows at times how to get big, that's what you want to do, right? When the ball's moving all over the place and guys are running after it like little kids, you want to make yourself as big as possible, give yourself an actual place for the defender to throw to. So, yeah, look, IKF's an athlete. You know, Vladdy's leaving his feet, didn't make the play. You don't give up on the play. You say Kikuchi, the ball's right in front of you. You find the bag, you get big, you catch the ball. Like, it's baseball 101, but that's what good teams do. You know, they pick up their buddy when they don't make the play. You get the key out. I just like how you say bounce back, right? He threw the 26-pitch inning in the second. He threw 11 pitches in the third. He threw 20 pitches in the fifth. He threw 12 pitches in the sixth. Yeah. It was almost like you self-correct yourself. I mean, that's the best fastball command he's had the glove side in my mind all year. And on top of it, he had the extra tick in the velocity. I mean, most of the night he's sitting at 97. When you got that and you can sort of locate the bottom of the zone with the secondary stuff with the slider. You know, you sort of speeding them up in there, the righties, because you're getting some called strikes in there. Now they know they have to protect that. Now they know they have to get the head out to keep that fair, you know, have a direct path. And now you can start changing speeds, throwing the breaky stuff. All of a sudden, you say, man, is must watch.
Jared in Calgary, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
So much to talk about, guys, you know, from Ernie Clement avoiding that slide, the left field just being a vacuum for baseball today. But you guys, Kev, I believe you had mentioned that what Vladdy needs to do is he needs to go out in his first at bat and get a hit. And he's going to feel it for the rest of the game. He went 2-for-3 with 2 hits, 2 walks, and 2 RBIs. That is exactly what Vladdy needed, was to go out, first at bat, get a hit. Felt confident the entire game. That's exactly it. Like, great call by you, Kev. Like,
yeah. Oh, again, look, I've been there. I've struggled. I've you know, hitting the cage till my hands are bleeding and not having it translate on the field, and it's sort of like Groundhog Day, right? And that's how you mentally have to grind through it. And it was nice to watch him. I just like how he self-corrected. You know, when he was overswinging a little bit, he sort of calmed it down. He thought about throwing the front shoulder at the baseball, right? Thinking right center, picking a target. You know, Buck was talking about that TD sign in right center.
Yeah.
It's not like you're trying to hit the ball there. You just want the length of your swing to be directed that way, which will give you a chance to stay down and through it, sort of level out your swing. It's not an uppercut guy. He's not a launch angle guy. He's a level swing guy, which, you know, you need to add length to your swing to get those balls in the air. That's why they have Edwin here. That's why they're in the cage with Guillermo Martinez, you know, for an hour before batting practice. So you just like seeing it translate, Jeff. Like, he needs that mentally to have actually an at-bat turn into a positive, because you sort of want to build off that confidence-wise. And, man, it's just the team looks different when Bo and Vladdy are hitting, doesn't it? Just looks
different. Yeah, it absolutely does. And, Jared, thanks for the call. Yeah, it absolutely.
It's a great call, Jared.
Because he agreed with you. I mean, I ain't calling.
Well, most of the time I'm right.
It's a great call. Well, yeah. Blind squirrel finds a nut every hour. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888. You know I love you. 666-0590.
That's debatable.
Yusei Kikuchi, you made a point, I think before his first start of the year, that one of the things Pete Walker had talked about, and John Schneider as well, they talked about the need for more efficiency. And the number, and unless I'm wrong, pardon me, unless I'm wrong, the number you gave me is kind of 15 pitches per inning, right? That's kind of what the sweet spot they want to see.
That's elite stuff, right? I mean, a guy like him who throws as hard as he does and is sort of trying to find secondary stuff, if he's living somewhere in that 17 pitch and anything, I mean, that's going to get him where he needs to be. And, so he was right around that.
Exactly. That was my point. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, again, I think, look, he knew coming in that glove side was very important. And now you have the uptick in velocity because you got good mechanics and you got a real faith in your finish. Jeff, that's a very small target. You see where Danny Jansen's setting up to those righties, right? Like, the target is shrunk. It's like a small area for you, say, to aim for. And for him to be able to have the consistent finish that he's got to sort of drive it in there and get called strikes in there, get them dudes in swing mode, you know, staying within yourself and hitting 97 to the pull side and keeping that thing fair. You got to get the head out. Like, you got to be thinking about it. I got to get this thing going, dude. It's got a little extra gear to it. And then you start throwing those sort of change of speed sliders and curveballs. I mean, that's, again, all of a sudden, man, that's like they're just passing the baton with these quality starts after quality starts. And this is how you win a bunch of games. This is how you go on 4, 5, 6, 7 game winning streaks, is have that starter doing what these dudes have been doing. Hey, don't let Gosman go out tomorrow and be throwing no 95, 96, 97 either. Because then all of a sudden you're cooking with gravy, Jeff. You are cooking with gravy.
You know, tomorrow now, I mean, the focus very much does shift till tomorrow with Kevin Gosman. It has not been a good start to the year for Kevin Gosman. It's the type of start, frankly, that raises red flags with a lot of people. We're told everything's fine. He's healthy. You know, the velo in his last start was there. But there's until you see Kevin Gosman go out and have one of those Kevin Gosman games, I think people are going to you know, there's going to be a little bit of a question mark hanging over him. If they can get a start like that out of him, because you know who's going to be fired up tomorrow. Like Marcus Stroman is going to be, he's going to be ready to go. Afternoon game, Toronto, he'll be ready to go. Yankees, you know, trying to avoid a sweep. Man, if they can get a Kevin Gausman performance tomorrow and sweep this thing, then they got the off day. Then they're off to San Diego. I mean, that's a good this would be a good way to end the homestand. Way to end the homestand.
He's had some good starts against the Yankees in the past, but there has been some of those games where, you know, am I tipping pitches? Am I giving things away? Why aren't they taking the split finger? I got good velocity. I set it up. They shouldn't be taking that. You know, just sort of eliminate that. Have good mechanics. Get a good finish. Get in a good rhythm. You know, if you have to throw more before the game to get your arm loose, like from the gate, that thing should be somewhere around the 94 to 96 range. He's got that. He'll give them a good chance to win that game tomorrow.
Let's go to Charlie in Jersey. You're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm going to start off with a complaint because that's what I do. And you know, yeah. Well, listen, it's okay. It's not a complaint about you guys. I spoke about this with you yesterday, and you agreed with me. And I called it. I said, "What's going to happen when Jordan Romano gets back, guys?" There's no reason why I have to be rushed to the hospital for heart failure just because John decides that the first day he comes back, this guy's on the injury list. I mean, come on. Yimi Garcia, you know, obviously I think it was a good spot that they put him in because, you know, but we have, you know, Chad Green, we have others to put in. Why, you know, why do that? Why risk it? You see what I'm talking about. I mean, his stuff was, you know, we were lucky that he didn't blow the save. Let's just be real. And why put him in that situation? This is a big time game against the Yankees. We're trying to win the series here, and you know I just don't understand it. I mean, maybe you can explain to me why throw him right into the fire, ease him in a game.
I don't think he threw. I'm gonna disagree. I don't think he threw him in the fire.
I don't either.
If he had put him in against Soto, Judge, and Stanton, now we're talking throwing him into the fire. Gave him, you know, this
it's
was to me, this to me,
fire,
this played out, this played out perfectly. Chad Green. I mean, if you've got more confidence in Chad Green right now than you do Jordan Romano, like I like Chad Green, but I'll take this Jordan Romano over Chad Green. I'll take Jordan Romano throwing 98 over Chad Green. Like I just
pointed quickly, if you don't mind, just guys, I know there's a lot of people waiting. Let me just get my other point. Cause I wanted you to talk about,
sure.
it, especially Kevin, let me hear what you have to say. What I do like, okay. I love what Clement brings. I love his speed. I love the all-out effort, you know, that we saw tonight. I like this kid. I want to know what you guys think about the – you know, we have a nice crowd between Clement, ITF, Biggio. Where do you see and what do you feel, you know, is the right mixture to put in there? I would love to see Clement personally. I love – you know, IKF, you know, is playing very serviceable. And, you know, he brings, you know, some good versatility. I want to see more what this Clement guy could do. I want to see what, you know, what kind of mixture do you want to see on a regular basis?
Okay, Charlie, I'll pass it over to Kevin. Thanks for the call. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, I think if he's hitting, he'll play more. I mean, I think it's real simple. Like it's,
I think it's a competition. Whoever's hitting
absolutely.
More. Because what I will say is I think IKF's defense is the thing that might, on most days, tip the balance in his favor. Like I think there will be more days where we will see Clement and IKF in the field than we'll see Clement and Biggio in the field. That's just at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't think they have an everyday third baseman. That's why they're sprinkling in a bunch of guys, right? You know, depending on what arm the guy throws, the starting pitcher throws with, that's going to determine on where they're putting certain guys and how many righties they want in the lineup and, you know, bat path and those sort of kind of things. IKF's giving the quality at bat, right? He's thinking the other way, which is a big deal. He's not over swinging. Like, he's going to punch out because he's not a great hitter, but he's trying to make contact and situational things. You know, the ball's hit around him. He's going to make, if not all of those plays. Ernie Clement, I like his hands, like his first move, his fast twitch muscles. Like, you know, I like all the accuracy of his throws. Like, what are you not, how can you not like any of that stuff? So I think they sort of found their sweet spots, right? They're just going to sprinkle in these guys all over the place. And I think they have buy-in from a bunch of dudes who just want to play and play hard and contribute and compete. And boy, if you don't like that,
Yeah, we're going to take a break for a minute and go back to the phone lines. But one question I did want to get to you, Kevin, I wanted to squeeze in right away. Dalton Varsho gets a start against a lefty tonight. Gets the double, part of the double steal. The bottom of the order, you know, 7, 8, 9. Mm-hmm. That's where your five runs came from tonight. I mean, they scored the runs. There was an awful lot going on at the bottom of the order. Were you surprised to see Dalton in the lineup?
Yeah, not really. I mean, I think with what Kiermaier's not doing offensively, you know, I think they're looking for a guy that can run into one. You know, Dalton had good pace to his approach tonight. Like, that's the mm-hmm. first time really that you didn't think it was sort of robotic and he's trying to think his way through, where's my foot going? You know, how soon should I land with my foot? Where's my hands at? Like, you could tell there's a little bit more fluidity to all that stuff that was happening. It was just – you know, he's one of those guys that simplifies it enough to just say, see ball down, hit ball. Like, mm-hmm. it's real simple. I'm trying not to swing at the ball up a lot because I know Likey. Try and do that till you get two strikes and take your chances to the pull side. Yep. I just like the way his lower half look. He consistently does that. He'd be all right.
If I'm not mistaken, Ben Shulman said that it's the first series win for the Blue Jays against the Yankees at the Rogers Center since September 2019, the first home series win in 7. Keep in mind that during COVID, the Jays did play their other series against the Yankees in Buffalo. Kevin, if I had told you that the Jays would take 2 or 3 from the Yankees without hitting a home run, I mean, again, understanding what we now believe this offense to be, you would have thought at some point somebody would have run into one.
Yeah, I would have said that would probably add some challenges that they're not driving the ball out of the park, right? It's a lot to put on the pressure of a pitching staff. But I think the staff can handle this. Like, I really do. Like, I think they're buying into the ball down. I think they were giving up a bunch of homers early, Jeff, because they just weren't finishing through their windup. Now you're seeing a bunch of these balls down. They're going to keep it in the yard. Going to give that lineup a chance to have a big inning. And whether that be the home run or not, I think they can score enough runs to at least make a run at this thing.
It's a 5-4 win for the Blue Jays. We will take a break and come back. 416-870-0590, *590. 1-888-666-0590. We'll come back with manager's comments. We'll go back to the phone lines as well. Don't go anywhere. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hey, this is Mitch White. You're listening to Toronto Blue Jays Baseball on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
But they were both good, you know, minus the hit-by-pitch to Glaber for Jordy. You know, stuff was there. You know, just kind of left a slider up to Verdugo a little bit. But I thought they were good, you know what I mean? Speed of the game, I think when you're behind the plate, it may take you a little bit of time to kind of catch up. Jano's only caught a couple games in AAA, but I thought they were good. I thought his at-bats were good. I'm sure Jordy liked the atmosphere here a little bit better than Buffalo on a cold rainy day. But, yeah, I thought they were good.
Now, I'll tell you what, I think we had, was it Charlie in Jersey called up about being worried about a heart attack. I heard that little drop, Mitch White coming back.
Yeah.
Almost lost you know what. Do not worry, Jays fans.
He gone.
He DFA'd. I'm sure teams are lining up to get Mitch White, though. That's
he's a nice guy. I root
he's
for him.
He's a
I
nice
hope it works
guy.
Out. I, do.
I hope it works out for him.
I've
too,
been DFA'd. It's not any fun.
No.
You think you stink. Nobody wants you.
Yeah, but
hurts your feelings.
You didn't spend 9 months in a pitching
didn't trick him. You're right.
Yeah. So anyhow, Mitch White DFA'd today as part of the moves to get Jordan Romano and Eric Swanson back on the roster. You heard John Schneider talking about Danny Jansen. Nice to see Jano with some armor in his hands, wasn't it?
I told you.
You did, yeah.
Yeah.
It looked like they put some thought into that. It looked like it was, what do you call it? Like spike sort of thing that he had in his.
Should have had one of them khakis about 8 months ago raise their hand and go, hey, you know this guy stands there on top of the plate. Maybe he should wear some armor.
Yeah. Well, like just I said, saying. the assistant armorer, obviously it's an issue. They don't have enough armorers. 416-870, 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888. 866-590. The Blue Jays have won four games in a row. It is their first series win at the Rogers Center against the Yankees since September 13th to 15th, 2019. Oh, a lot of things have happened since then, haven't they, folks? A lot of things have happened since then. Jays are 10-0 this season when holding their opponents to three or fewer runs, Kevin Barker. And this is for you. Now, it is early. It is early. I get that. They're 5-4 against AL East opponents. They've won 18 of their last 30 games against AL East clubs. They're 6-2 in the homestand so far. They can make it 7-2 tomorrow. So I just wanted to throw that out there because
yeah, it's important.
About Well, it is important, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what? It's early, but it ain't early against the AL East.
Yeah, they can't
not for me, at least.
They can't go 10 games under 500 in their division and think they're going to make the playoffs this year. There's too many good American League teams, not just East teams, American League teams that are going to – you're going to have to win a bunch more games. So, yeah, this is a step in the right direction. They're getting their pitching taken care of, and you solidify that and you hold people from scoring, you're going to have a good chance of winning most of those games.
Michael in Brampton, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hi. Longtime Expos fan, so I think of Vladimir as Expos legacy. You know,
awesome.
So I keep watching. Anyway,
who's your favorite
I was
Expos
worried
player of all
going
time?
Into today who's, about the
Michael. Who's your favorite Expos player of all time?
Favorite Expos? That's a hard one. There's so many good ones. Gary Carter.
Okay, that's an easy one. I was thinking. A little
more it could be so many. I have some.
Mine's Rodney
Scott.
Equal
favorites. I mean, it's Tim Raines, you know.
Yeah. Anyhow, it's Blue Jays talk. Go ahead, Michael. Sorry.
You're right.
That. We can reminisce, but that's enough Expos talk. It drives people nuts.
Yeah. I wonder if Jano had trouble catching that ball because of the new armor. Things that were a little bit rough there for Jano and a little bit rough for Romano, but I was worried coming in about three pitchers. Will they ever be able to pitch again the way they used to? And those are Manoa and Gausman. And you know what? I'm not worried about Romano anymore because although it was a bit rough, what he showed me is those ice in his veins, right? That's what he showed me. I think Romano's back.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Michael. I mean, I don't know if I'd say there's ice in his veins, but again, I'll tell you this. That is what I expected in Jordan Romano's first game back. And I don't mean that. I'm not slagging the guy. It's just your first game back.
Yeah.
First game back of the year. First game in the majors this year. Yeah. You got the big intro and everything. I expected a tightrope act from Jordan. Yeah. Does that mean I expect it the next time? Nope, not necessarily, but I did this time.
John's exactly right. Everything's bigger in the big leagues. Like, it's not Buffalo. Yeah. It's not, you know, everything's warmer in the big leagues. Like, you know, everything's brighter. Like, when you're running in, heart rate's a little.
God, you sound like Crash Davis.
Beating a little faster. Absolutely. I've been there. I've been on both sides. I know how it is. Like, the lights are a lot brighter. Like, things are bigger up here. You got to throw strikes. Like, that's exactly, I think, if not then, when would you put him in? That's a perfect scenario, right? At home against the Yankees, up two runs. Like, give him a little room for mistakes. That's exactly what happened. He got himself out of it. Now he can build off of that. Everything's all systems go now. Now you got your role. You know it's the ninth inning. Mm-hmm. Go out there and get him, kid.
Yeah, no, nothing about the bullpen use or the results surprised me tonight.
Nope.
I think this probably played out. The way John should.
Don't give dudes six days off, though. That's never a good thing.
Yeah, and
I understand why, because the way the starting pitching's been.
Exactly.
But,
you know,
but he's one of your main guys. You got to keep him sharp. Throw him more.
Yeah. But, you know, things like that are going to slip through the cracks when you're trying to, you know, when you're playing 3-1 all the time. Yeah, things like that are gonna slip through the cracks. John Schneider was asked about Yusei Kikuchi. I want to play this clip from tonight because, again, Yusei Kikuchi is the Yankees have no answer for him.
He's got a great mix going. You know, curveball is such a big pitch for him. Heater was great tonight, electric at times, and he's got weapons. You know, he's confident with every pitch. Really, I think is a difference. You know, wipeout slider. Curveball's been a really big pitch for him, you know, for a while now. But, I mean, that's a tough lineup, and, I mean, he's coming right at you. So, I mean, just a really, really good mix all night. He's pretty locked in, and, you know, again, I feel like I said it every time with him. Confidence is a big thing. I mean, he's you trust him, man. I mean, I think he's being much more efficient with his pitch count, and he's got great. You know, I mean, his stuff was electric. So yeah, it's. I think he's just in a really good spot.
Schneider dropping one of my favorite words of all time there.
Yeah,
I love it.
Look, he's predictable.
Over the last eight games, by the way, Jay's starters have pitched to a 1.09 WHIP, 54 strikeouts, 2.15 ERA. Oh yeah, they're doing that without Kevin Gausman.
Yeah, they're a run prevention team. They're gonna make the playoffs. They have to do that most of the time all year. I think we're coming to the realization now that Yusei Kikuchi is predictable. If I'd have said that to you, you know, halfway through last year, you'd have called me crazy. But I think now, if you're a Jays fan, every time he comes around his turn, I think he's very predictable. You're sort of thinking to yourself, the velocity's going to be there. The break on the secondary stuff's going to be there. He'll self-correct on the mound. He can throw. He can get out a tough righty in a big moment, big part of the order. Because he's got good stuff, he believes in himself, he's predictable. Can't wait to watch him throw the next time. I think that's where he's at now.
Yeah, and, you know, Kevin, I'm a big believer, and I know Buck Martinez has talked about this as well, but I'm a big believer that guys play well behind guys when they know, when the guy's got a good pace, when they know that he's in command, when they know that he's confident. I still think, and I don't think there's, I don't know if there's a number or any way you can analyze this, but I just think when, I think guys can feed off a pitcher. That's one thing I do think about baseball. It's, you know, not one of those hockey things. We're going to try harder and we're going to feed off each other. But I do think when a pitcher goes out there and it, you know, and has good pace and lets you know it's my game, you know, you've got the best of me today. I do think guys play up to that. I really do.
Yeah, he sets the feel of the game, right? I mean, if you're as a defender, you can feel if he's not, you know, positive and you know, thinking the right way about conviction of all of his pitches. And now all of a sudden, man, when they push the button, he's running ready to go. There ain't no shaking off. It's I got because my velocity on my fastball is off the charts right now. That secondary stuff, I'm going to toy with these dudes. As long as I keep it down, my misses are good with that. I don't hang a bunch of them. I got a good chance of going six innings. Again, I mean, this is very impressive stuff that he went from what he went from to this. I mean, it's impressive stuff, man. Give everybody credit.
Tim and Hamilton, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I remember watching Yusei in his first year, and there's one game where he faced 14 batters. He walked or struck seven, and he didn't strike out the other seven. So the fact that this is the same guy, I think, you know, Michael calling earlier can, you know, anything's possible as far as Gausman and Manoa go. But what I wanted to call about was I was just kind of glad to see that the team played well enough to make up for some rusty moments from, you know, Jano and Romano. I think in Jordan's case, it can't be easy to come back, you know, have your first game back and that pyrotechnics show. You know, also, like, you know, good luck putting him in the seventh with that kind of a display, right? Like, you have no choice with this whole theatrical bit.
You know what?
Every time.
Yeah, never thought of that.
You know what? I didn't either. And that is it. Now, that's a hell of a point.
Yeah,
that is a hell of a point. If
would they do that in the seventh inning? You think?
I mean, I don't know, Tim.
That's a great point.
I don't know.
Yeah,
do you do
I'll
it
have
the
to
same
ask.
Thing.
I will ask that and find the answer out. I will ask.
Yeah, they've made a brand out of them, so I got to stick to it now.
Yeah,
that's a great point. It's a great call as well, Tim. Thanks for that, man. Appreciate it. That's a hell of, I had not even thought of that.
I didn't either.
If he comes in the eighth inning, do you do the whole thing? And then what do you do for? For
poor
Jimmy when he comes in, you know, he's got that nice sort of slow, dramatic song. What do you do? I mean, this is maybe you got to have an intro for everybody. I had never thought of that.
I don't know.
And then what do you do? Like, do you not play it when Romano comes in the eighth inning?
That's a great question.
I mean, you're the other team. You're going, what the hell is this? You know, eighth inning and the lights are flashing and you know, here comes in setup man's got his own light show. I'm just saying. See, every now and then, Kevin, the callers raise a point that gets us. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Yeah, further to his point, though, it was that's a good win. I mean, it sounds really trite, but to me, you see games like last night and games like tonight. And I know you got on me last night because I started off talking about the runners in scoring position. You said you just beat the Yankees 3-1. The W's are what count. You know what? Haven't seen games like this in this homestand where they're now 6-2. If this is the way the Rogers Center is going to play, and if she's not going to give up a ton of home runs this year, then from what I've seen in this homestand, admittedly against one team, Colorado, that wasn't that great. But from what I've seen, if this is how they are going to play and win games, I mean, as long as they win, I'm willing to embrace it. I'm willing to embrace it. We may just have to look at this thing as a team that's going to, you know, have to beg, borrow, and steal 5 runs a game when it wins. Leave a ton of guys on base, not get that big extra base hit, but still win the game because a couple of guys have stolen bases and they've made good decisions on the base paths and somebody's rolled the ball through the middle and 2 runs have scored and then the pitching's been great and the bullpen's good. That could just be the way it is. And
that still does
appears as if they can win that way.
That still doesn't mean that Blair and Barker won't be yelling and screaming about Ross going out and finding him somebody that can hit a homer.
No. And it also doesn't mean
they
that
need that.
That's as much as it might be working on April 16th, it will not work in September or October.
Jeff, they got 14 homers on the season. 14. Oof. That's not
a lot. And other than Jano, they've had all their guys, right?
Yeah.
So, and as much as we
hopefully
all love
when it gets warmer, ball starts carrying them more.
Well, hopefully. Yeah, with the roof's open, hopefully, but. Buck made the point again tonight. Now, I didn't notice it as much tonight as I did last night. I freely admit, I thought Juan Soto's ball was out of the park last night, that line drive. Mm-hmm. There have been a couple of those. There were a couple of those in that game that I thought were out of the park. Tonight not so much. But if this is the way the park's going to play, then this is the way the Blue Jays have to play. And you're right, if they're going to win, well, might as well embrace it because it's better than the alternative. 3:07 will be first pitch tomorrow. It'll be Marcus Stroman against Kevin Gausman at the Rogers Center. Blair and Barker will be on from 2 to 3 on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet. Then we're going to skedaddle down to the Rogers Center, and we will be doing Blue Jays talk following the game, radio only tomorrow. We'll be doing Blue Jays talk following the game, and well, with Kevin Gausman pitching, my feeling is we're going to have a lot to talk about one way or another tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Winning
hopefully
edition.
Good, though.
That's what I'm calling.
Yeah. Sweep the Yankees edition. How about that? Could happen.
It's got a nice sound to it.
It does indeed. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Gatineau, Aylmer, and Gatineau, Hull. Across the river from Ottawa. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. Because you know what we say, they are Canada's number one rust protection.